This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to another Wednesday evening live stream with the Shower Door Professionals. Coming to you live. Yeah. Anything could happen. Who knows? Maybe I'll fall down. Would that be funny? I wouldn't rule anything out. Hope you're having a great week. I know that I am still standing. Rolling with the punches and stuff like that. So if you would like to join us, you certainly are welcome to do that. I have reworked the whole link thing to make sure that all the information is there that you need. I know people have had trouble getting in. You know, it's weird. You know, you do it and, you know, you just expect that information is correct. Sometimes you gotta double check those robots. You know, they're not always infallible. So hope that's working out for you. Just come on in, click the link, join us in the Zoom call, and we will chat about all things shower doors and shower door business, stuff like that. Speaking of shower doors and shower door business, I see Christina's here. How you doing, Christina? What's going on? I know you probably have a little update for us about the co-op.
I do. I'm glad you asked, Chris. It's almost like we planned it.
I know, right?
I know. So I'm Christina from the Shower Door Guy in Atlanta, and I'm going to be giving you a brief co-op update probably every week, almost every week. And this week's update is we are still working on our bylaws, but we've reached a bit of a turning point. So we're starting to talk about what the dues will look like, how other cooperatives manage dues. Typically, when you buy into a cooperative, it's not exactly like an association. It's almost like buying stock. It's buying into a jointly owned business while you still maintain your own independent business, but it's a little bit more of a commitment in the sense that we're going into business together and we're making this commitment all together to grow our industry. So that being said, there's a buy-in and an annual or monthly or whatever. We haven't decided all that yet, but we are starting to look at that, working with other cooperatives in similar industries to understand how they do their things, what has worked, what hasn't worked. We're working with a CPA in the cooperatives, as well as an attorney in the cooperative space specifically, and that attorney will be helping us to solidify our bylaws once those are all completed. We have some really, really good stuff in there. We have some great ideas and things that have just sprung up for exactly, you know, all the benefits that this could reap. So we're really excited, and it's not a huge update, but we're definitely making progress. So there will be more to come. If you have any interest in getting any more information about this, go to showerdoorprofessionals.com, fill out the form, and then as soon as we have more concrete information, we will be contacting you. It is not a commitment right now. This is just more information, et cetera. So showerdoorprofessionals.com. That's all I've got.
Awesome. Well, that's a lot. Thanks so much for your report. Yeah, that's pretty exciting. I mean, it's happening, you know. It's going to take a bit, but we're going places. So we'll let you know as things develop. So it's funny. I was just, just kind of thinking about, you know, each year at this time, the new year comes and kind of get wrapped up on all the projects that were really pressing during the holidays. You know, it's like around Thanksgiving, everybody's in a hurry to get everything done by Thanksgiving. Then everybody's in a hurry to get everything done by Christmas. And then, things don't get done by Christmas. I'm just telling you. And then, in the first of the year, you're wrapping all that stuff up. And then all of a sudden, it's like crickets. It's like nobody's interested in doing anything. And every year, I think it's going to be different. This year, it's just going to be, I'm going to have a busy first of the year. But it really never happened. I mean, it rarely happens. It has happened before, but it usually doesn't. And I've got some theories about it. I think that probably pretty or people are pretty, I don't know, exhausted from the whole roller coaster ride through the holidays. Starts in like October or November, whatever, and runs to the end of the year. And then, oh man, people are just tired of, they don't really feel like spending money anymore. Of course, at the beginning of the year, tax season basically starts, and so people are starting to think about taxes.
Think about taxes.
And
And
not really all that excited about spending a bunch of money, I think. But I don't know. Trying to think of, things to do to stay busy. And when if you've got employees, you worry about them. It's like I don't mind a day off, but if you've got employees, you want to make sure you can keep them busy. So I'm just curious, is it just me, or is this something that you guys experience? I know I was talking to Cameron before we started, and he was like, man, he's busy, he can't hardly keep up. So I know everybody's not experiencing a slowdown at this time of year, but just curious what your experience is, and how are you managing that? Anyone?
Chris, I think it depends on where you're located too, right? Because in Florida, everybody's down here now after the holidays. They're here for the winter. So we're really busy. They're all opening up their condos or houses because they've been, closed since before the holidays and they're down here now. They want to get these projects done before they go back in the summer. This is actually our busy season right now,
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense.
right? So it's the opposite of most. But then the good thing is when summertime comes around, then our big projects are ready because a lot of the high rises don't let you work in this season. They'll let you work in the summertime when the people have gone up north.
All right.
So we have the balance of back and forth between season and off season. There's got to be other areas in the country. I know when I was in Massachusetts, it was the opposite, right? We were really busy once the spring home shows started opening up, March, April. As people wanted to get things ready for their spring cleaning and then slowed down at the holidays. So we're the opposite in Florida. So I think it's where you're located. And the other thing is what state you're in. I don't know if Cameron, are you in Texas?
Central Valley, California.
Oh, you're in California. Okay.
Yeah, last year, I mean, about this time, we were pretty slow. Kind of looking for stuff to do. But we've got a couple big projects that kind of rolled over into the beginning of the year. And it seems, I mean, our competition, I don't know, I can't really speak for them, but we've been getting a lot of other business from the competition, like other calls that, they're just not satisfied or what have you. So that's kind of been working in our favor, but most of it's been, a lot of contractors moving over and just kind of word of mouth stuff. Plus, like to your point, we've got our first, at least for us, our first home show coming up in March, so we're kind of gearing up for that too. So
Yeah, I think that's the kickoff for most of the home shows, February and March. And yeah, that was always the kickoff for us when I was up north. And it's good. And I know some of the guys on this call, they might not be on tonight, were talking about different things to put in their home show booth and how to display better, but ease of setup and tear down as well. That's just as important. Obviously, the most important thing is to be impactful to the consumer to make them want to stop at your booth and fill out an estimate form or at least feel and touch and feel the product as opposed to just seeing pictures of it.
So, you know, we've given some pictures out to a couple of the guys that have asked. I'm interested to see how their boots come out.
No
We have
doubt.
our first home show this weekend, actually. I don't think we've ever done a home show, so we're really excited about that. Our guys have been working on the booth, so it's awesome.
Good. I'll tell you, Christina, the biggest thing is they have a good attitude as people come up. Don't bother them, like try and entice them into your booth. But when they come in, make sure you greet them friendly and answer questions. You're there to add value. Let them buy the product. The product will sell itself if you're showing it right. Just you got to sell yourself on them, and your attitude is number one. Appearance, cleanliness, all of that stuff. Just to answer their questions and you'll be fine. But I do suggest trying to book appointments the day of the show. That's you got them right there. They're ready to make an appointment. Make sure you either bring your computer if you're doing an electronic schedule or even a calendar and you do it by hand. Either way, book an appointment right then when you can.
That's a great idea. Thank you.
Yeah, don't let it go to waste. Too many guys fill out forms and they put it in a fishbowl or something and then goes back to the office and maybe one day they'll call five of them and that'll be the end of it. And you'll have wasted your whole weekend.
Follow through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking from many years of experience during home shows.
You could also do like a $50 gift card that they can use at any time. So that way that you kind of force them to buy from you.
Yeah,
that's what we were gonna kind of look at was put together just like a little, home show, promo card or whatever or coupon, and do that and pass it out at the show. If they book an appointment with us there at the show, they get their coupon, whether it's $50, $100, whatever. And I got some other trinket stuff, with our logo and some pens and little bottle openers, just stuff to kind of get them to at least walk in the booth and kind of see what's going on. So we're excited. It's the first one that we've done. I've been to other home shows, with at different companies and work booths and stuff like that at these types of events. So kind of have some experience with it, but it'll just be the first time doing it with, with my business. So yeah, we're pretty excited.
Christina, the other thing is
That's
if
a
you've
good
got
answer.
some.
Oh, sorry, Bill, go ahead.
No, go
No, I
ahead.
was just gonna say, I mean, that's a good, answer for a slow season. If it's if the wintertime is a slow season for you and there's these home shows going on, that's like a match made in heaven, right? Because you can get the time away from the shop to be out somewhere meeting people and who are already out there looking, so.
And so for those of you who aren't showing at the home show, we really focus on contractors. And one of the things that we've always done is reverse home show. So at the very worst time, 3 o'clock on Friday, or just as it, just after it's been open for a couple of hours, all those contractors that are working on the show are really bored. And we know a lot of them through the HBA and the people putting on the show. So we stop by and we say hi and we chat up our customers and we call it reverse home show because we're in there talking. I mean, the people, the contractors that are showing there are the people who are marketing and getting business and stuff. And we want to be their glass shop. So I'd recommend that too, reverse
Wow.
home show.
Absolutely. Turn it upside down. I
Brilliant.
like it.
Can also work on your website, work on your social media, your contracts, all the little stuff that you never have time for.
Absolutely.
Those are all important. Social media is really important. It's just taken off. And a lot of guys aren't using it to their full benefit.
I guess if we're talking about drumming up business too, I had another tip. So we are this year finally, since 2020, getting back to our football party. So we hold a giant football party, and we are part of a group of other like-minded businesses. So we all have the same type of customer and contractor. So there's a fireplace company, an audio video place, there's a HVAC guy, and we're all kind of high-end contractors. And we all got together and we put on about 4 customer appreciation events a year. And our biggest one is the AFC-NFC championship football parties that are happening this Sunday. So we rent out an entire restaurant that's a sports bar, and we invite all of our top customers. And so my top customers are someone else's potential customers. Some of us share customers, but it's a great customer sharing, customer appreciation, great networking opportunity. And up until COVID, we were doing it every year. Finally, it's back this year. And you do an event like that, and we usually end up with about 110 or 120 people showing up. That food bill is like $15,000, but there's 10 of us. That food bill is $1,500. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. So I love this group. And like I said, we're all like-minded. We all have similar customers. We all refer each other. So that's my tip.
So how did you originally put that thing together?
Well, thank goodness we were invited by the group was already put together. Okay. But the two people who started it, what they noticed is that they were doing the same sponsorships at the HBA and at NKBA. So they would sponsor the economic forecast. They would sponsor this, sponsor that, hold events at their place. And they started going, you know, why are we both spending, you know, $500 to sponsor a HBA event when we could pull our $500 in another person's and another person's. And so we do the football party, we do Top Golf, we do a breakfast at a trap shoot for the HBA. We serve everybody breakfast. And then the fourth one is kind of rotating. I don't know why I'm forgetting right now, but it all just started with the two people, and they were already going, and we got invited to become part of it just because we started being really active with the HBA. You have to bring your own, you know, your own customers to the table. You can't just, you know, milk off of other people's. So we had to prove ourselves.
No, Karen, not Karen, Shannon. Following up on that, we've done similar things. We've hosted paintball tournaments. We've hosted fishing tournaments, obviously golf tournaments. Those are big, especially down here. But something unusual, like going out to a place. There is a place not too far away where it's like a toy yard. The guys can operate bucket loaders and dumpsters, trucks and bulldozers. Guy's got a big plot of land, and he rents it out by the hour, and you can bring your contractors so they can go out and operate the heavy machinery. It's just something different to do, you know. It's a lot of fun.
We did a whiskey tasting once. That was another one. So there was this distillery, and we rented out their back room, and it was smaller. It was only like 50 or 60 customers, but yeah, getting creative with stuff like that.
Poker tournaments, another good one for contractors. Mm-hmm. And some of them followed up with cigar night. I can't deal with cigars because my allergies, but cigar nights were good, and poker nights are really good.
Yeah, imagine poker and cigars together.
If you got the spot, that's a home run for contractors.
No doubt.
You know, we just had something this past weekend. I do a lot of advertising with the Red Sox, and they had us out for batting practice out on the full stadium. So they set up the pitching machine in the cage, and we're playing on the field, and they invited all of their sponsors, but we can rent it out if we wanted to bring our contractors. So that's another really thing where they can, and it's just a fun atmosphere.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the sort of thing you would almost have to do with other companies. I mean, unless you just have a ton of contractors, you know, but
yeah.
If you only got to have a few, if you're small, like me, you know, you've only got a handful of contractors you work with, it might be a little, I don't know, almost awkward to have an event like that. But if you got together with a couple of other companies that had other contractors, you get, you know, get it up to like 10 or 15, it would be you can see that being pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, and remember, big hit with our events is not that, I mean, we call it a customer appreciation event, but really we're trying to meet the other people's customers. I mean, if you're just inviting your own, there's no new business there. So the, you know, I'm not saying your customers aren't worth it, but getting the other customers, that's the real hit.
Sure is.
Yeah, absolutely.
We talked about that before, because generally, if you're a subcontractor to a builder, they're not throwing your name around to another builder. They're saving them for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. It's like if you get a good babysitter, you're not giving up that babysitter either.
Yeah, unless you're really bad at, unless you're really bad at it, then, you know, your contract would be like, oh, yeah, you see these guys.
Yeah, exactly. But for the most part, the contractors aren't spreading word of mouth like homeowners are for you.
Yep. So true.
So did you write any of those down, Chris?
Oh, yeah, it's all right here.
Okay.
Yep.
You got Robert recording these?
Yeah, you know, exactly. That's what I mean when I say right here. I mean, Robert.
Good.
Yep, it's good. What else do you guys do when things
slow down? Any of you experience any glass shortages?
Say that again.
Yeah, has anybody heard about any shortages?
I'm out here.
No.
Not lately. How about you?
I actually have. There's apparently, you know, with whatever is happening in Gaza and other parts of the world, there's like shipments being, I guess, getting like pirates on ships, and they're like diverting the shipments. I think not much for the national glass, but for the international. So that's going to have an effect, you know, in the short term.
Yeah, if you're importing glass, that's a problem, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the same problem they had during COVID, too, when some of the ports were shut down. They could, the boats were out in the water, but just couldn't get into port. And so then the domestic really, you know, prices started going up.
So, Bill, do you guys have a season where it slows down, or is it just pretty much steady all year long?
When we started, we definitely slowed down at summertime as people left here. It was when I moved here 20 some years ago. It was very seasonal, very seasonal. Close right after. But now the population has grown so much. Florida, we're pretty busy now. Only had for. We lose a connection.
You know, I'm having some spotty internet here, which is weird because, like, I've got like super high speed internet, and I don't know, it's glitching here on me a little bit.
China. They
I don't even know how much of that you guys heard. Am I still in here?
You're there.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anyone look at their metrics?
What's that?
I'm just curious to know what metrics people look at from their year end. I know we've had a lot of metric conversations, but does anybody like sit down and make a spreadsheet or a PowerPoint, really hammer out their metrics and set goals for the next year based on prior metrics or projected metrics?
Both. Both. I think everyone does in their own way. I mean, even when I only had three employees, we set goals and set some metrics, and they were very, very rudimentary at the time. The bigger you get, you can really start honing in and tracking everything from go backs, callbacks, how many installations went in per group, how long it takes. There's a lot of metrics you can do, but the basic ones is your overall revenue, how many doors sold, how many installed. Those are the basic ones, what's your profit on that, and then you drill down from there. I mean, you can get into what your inventory turns are. How many turns does it take a year to know how much inventory you have to keep in stock? So there's a lot of different metrics to look at depending on what you're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could easily make a flat out goal and say, okay, we want to increase sales by 10%. Then you have to say, okay, how are we going to do it? What's our best return on investment? And then you have to start analyzing what you're doing for advertising, what you're doing for sales, and go from there. How do you increase it 10%, 15%, whatever it is? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you want to grow? How big do you want to grow? Where do you want to grow? All of that stuff.
Yeah, I think one of the big numbers is to do year over year for the month, because it's very easy when you're a small business to go, well, we're slow. It's just after Christmas. Well, we're busy because it's April. You know, how are you compared to last April? I've got 15 years of month over, you know, year over year by month. So that way, well, the kids went back to school this week. That must be why we're slow. And that's just not the case. You know what I'm saying? It may be you're busier than you should be, or you could be slower than you could be. But, you know, for this January, are you guys tracking how you're doing compared to last January? Mm-hmm. How many dollars per day are you booking compared to last year? How many showers per week are you booking compared to last year? And then of course that's going to be a result of your leads. And so, you know, as Bill talks about projection side, certainly you've got to get a certain amount of leads with a certain closing percentage to get a certain sales volume. But the question is, are you tracking January of this year versus January of the year before? Versus January the year before that? Because if you know, that's where I'd say is the starting point. If people aren't tracking very much, if they're kind of just relying on how they did the month before that, you really need to look at the month you're in versus the same time last year.
And Christina, the biggest thing is setting the goals, and then now you've got something to focus on. Instead of going in every day and twiddling your thumbs, say, okay, what are we gonna do? Have a goal list. Start checking them off, and you'll see how quickly you'll reach those goals if you have something that you can focus on. Because wherever your focus is, you will improve. If you're going to focus on reducing callbacks, you'll get better at it. If you want to improve on completion installations, you'll get better at it. So you have to look at what is the most important priority to focus on. Once you focus on, you'll set a plan, you'll do it. So maybe it's just growth. Maybe you just want to increase your sales by 15%. And you say, in order to do that, I need at least one more employee. You know how much you pay employees. Look at your profits to make sure you can cover it and go from there. Mm-hmm. You know, do you need to bump up your advertising? Do you know what is good advertising for you? Like Ellie Bond said, you should start fine-tuning your social media or what, or your website page or your Facebook page or whatever else you advertise on, getting fresh pictures. all sorts of good things. Education, just put educational blogs on there. Make yourself relevant on the search engines. Those are all really important things to do. And when you're slow, it's the perfect time to do them.
Mm-hmm. Every year I've been adding more and more non-financial metrics because the financial metrics tend to be lag indicators. So it's already done and you find out. Whereas if you're looking at something like number of phone calls that you're getting, number of estimates from plans, number of measure appointments, those are all lead indicators that are going to result in more revenue. And if you start tracking those things and you know, okay, this many phone calls equals this much volume, you know, and things, and you're tracking it and phone calls are going down, you know, then maybe you can do something to start doing some outreach. We've been trying to get our inside sales guys to do more follow-ups to say, hey, I'm just checking in to see if you got that quote. Did you have any questions? You know, trying to get the sale. And we're having trouble doing that until we said, hey, what you guys are going to do is you're going to try and decrease the time between sending the quote and getting the sale. Well, now they're like going after that number. Like Bill said, you get what you start measuring. So now it's like, oh, well, I'm not going to wait for them to call me. Most we do like 60% within 14 days. So, you know, what do you guys have to do to get 60% within 10 days instead of 14? So some of those things help them to kind of see that their efforts result in revenue.
You know,
we
talked about that a while ago, Shannon, right? Trying to close the job at the house the day you go for the estimate. A lot of guys will go out and measure it and go back to the shop and somebody else will type up a proposal. Try and get it where you can close it at the house. Have your salespeople trained. Close the job while you're at the house. Because then they don't need to call three other people to get bids. They don't want four people coming in their home going through the same thing. They have a price set in your mind. If you come in and you're within their budget or at least what they anticipate it to be, you're going to get the job if you do a good job. It's yours to lose. But I wouldn't leave there without giving them a price and say, look, if you want to go with it, we'll get you an installation date right now. And that's the way you lock it down.
That's what I do. I do that all the time.
Yeah. Our guys will call from the house and they'll get them an installation. Hey, if you gave me the order now, we'll get it in a week and a half. We have this Thursday open. Does that work for you? Yep. And I say, yeah, good. Let's do it.
That's what I do. I mean, I know when my glass is coming. I mean, I get deliveries, you know, 3 days a week. If I know when it's going to come, I have showers online, so it makes it a lot easier when I go and price out a shower. So I'll go design it, and then it pops out my glass price. I just put my labor in. And then from there, I have my scheduler on my iPad. So some customers are desperate. They want it done, you know, a week. They can't wait. I'll get you in a week, you know, but we got to sign on dotted line now or, you know, we're not going to have it in a week. So most of the time they'll give me a credit card or a check and I'll have, you know, schedule a week from now. Then, you know, and most people want that because they don't want to wait 2-3 weeks for a shower. So they want it tomorrow or the next day, but you know, obviously can't do that. But a week is not that bad, you know. And a lot of guys around here will say, you know, 2-3 weeks, and me, I could just do it a week later, you know. It's the advantage I have, you know, because you know my suppliers, they're pretty good, and so they're just, you know, that's how I do, and I close the deals almost every time. But it's been slow. So I'm in the same boat as you, some of you guys, but unfortunately, we're not just a shower door shop. We do everything else from A to Z, so we're busy in other aspects. So that's good. So yeah.
When you guys are out doing the estimates, are you guys as far as like getting pricing and stuff like that? Are you guys using the iPad, or what are you guys using to come up with your quotes? So I know you mentioned you shower online. We've been on Smart Glazer or Smart Builder for about 4 or 5 months now. And I'm starting to kind of get into it to where I can, you know, do it on site. It's just, we're still kind of fumbling through to you know, get a little better at it.
I use my iPad. Simple, easy. Okay. And then, like, I have a wireless keyboard. So, so I'm not touching the iPad, and so I have a keyboard and I just type everything up in it if I need to. And it has a mouse and makes it easier and quicker with that, too. So just adding little extra, accessories to your iPad, pencil and everything, it's nice to have on there.
Because then they can sign with the pencil, right?
Exactly. So, and then,
The other end of that pencil is a real pen, so they can write the check out too.
There you go.
Just turn it over.
That's a good idea. Let me write that down.
There you go. Yeah, I use an iPad too. Same thing. Showers online, so I can go there, pull it out. I even got a little Wi-Fi hotspot. So I've got my phone is AT&T. That's what I have for my service. But then I got a Verizon hotspot. So if I'm in a spot where I don't get one, I've got a chance of getting the other. There are some real dead zones up here, like especially you get up in the Santa Cruz Mountains. It's pretty spotty, but that's the one downside to it. It's like technology is awesome until it like fails, and then it's kind of embarrassing. The standard, trying to get it to work, but that doesn't happen very often. And people are pretty impressed when you pull it out, you start measuring it, put it right in there, and you can show them that what it's going to look like and how it's going to operate, and come up with a price right on site. And then, like Adrian's saying, let's go, let's get it going right now. And that's a great opportunity to close the deal right then. So if you can do that, it increases your closing rate substantially.
I've definitely noticed that, most of the time, I can, for the most, simple door and side panel, normally they're all around 78, 80 inches, by 58, 60 wide, So they're all going to be pretty general as far as the pricing. So those ones I can kind of whip out real quick. Some of the 90s, different heights, because we're dealing more with square footage. And, so it's always, I'll get back to you tomorrow, and I hate doing it because I know I've got the technology to do it. It's just, I'm kind of a one-man show as far as going out and doing everything. So it's just finding the time. And I've got, I've got another 5 appointments I got to get to today too. It's like, okay, let's go to the next one. Hurry up, go. So,
well, it's just a matter of getting it set up, because those programs they have the capability of giving you an actual quote. So I know Showers Online does, I'm sure Smart Builder does the same thing. You could figure out your formula, and it took me a while to do it, but once I got that dialed in, it was awesome, because I just put the sizes in, and it gave me a finished number for parts and labor and everything. And that's awesome too, because when you can like turn around and go, okay, here's your price, and it's $2,936.53. They're like, wow. That sounds like you really did some digging, to come to that. It's gonna be $3,000. You come up with like an exact figure like that. Round it off,
And Showers Online has a 3D design too, so you can show your customer, hey, this is gonna look like, open, operate. And if you're an Old Castle customer and you want to get the ordering, done quickly, while you're there, you just push the order button and go straight to them.
Yeah, because Smart Builder has pretty much all the same. They built it online, but in the mobile side of it, I don't know if they have that yet. I haven't gotten that far in the process, but that's something that they were talking about when I was getting set up. So I'm just kind of still waiting, but also it's me doing my due diligence of like, hey, I want to do this now. Like, can they do it?
So I think it's just the pro on the smart blazer. I don't know very much about that one. I was an online guy.
I can actually, sorry, I'm kind of eating dinner, but they're coming out with the mobile thing, and they haven't
and they have been kind of pushing it off and pushing it off. I believe they have to be coming out with it Q1 of this year, like any day now, but I don't know when that is. But they were like, oh, we're launching it at GlassBuild. And then they were like, well, we showed it and demoed it at GlassBuild. We're going to launch it in January before the new year. I was like, okay. So now they're saying Q1. So we will see. But
Sam told me that when he was, going through this pitch last year, that they were coming out. And then I was at that time before I got set up, I was doing showers online with Oldcastle, and they had just launched the web version. And I was having issues more so with price and the communication between Oldcastle and showers online. So long story, but they had just launched the mobile, like I think at the end of last year, right, for showers online. And I was like, oh, sweet, this is awesome. You guys are going to have this, right? Because you guys supposedly built it. And they're like, yeah, we did, but CRL owns that part of it and we can't really do it yet. I'm like, oh my God, you guys are killing me.
They don't know if there was kind of contract where they couldn't use the same thing or what, but I'm not super proud of this, but I ripped into it about it. He's their like product manager. And he steers the ship. And I ripped into him about it, cannibalizing your existing customer base who's paying you for this amazing tool. And then you're going out and using the money that we're paying you to make stuff for CRL that now our competitors have. I really, really yelled at him. Not proud of it, but I mean, that's what they demoed at GlassBuild, so maybe it kicked their butts into gear. I don't know. But I know it's coming. I know it's coming any day now. So hopefully, you know what? I'll send him an email. I'll do it now.
Don't we're pissed. Don't we're mad.
Yeah. Do it.
It's me, yeah.
Bam, again.
Christina, don't feel bad about doing that, because if more people do it, they'll get the message. The thing is, they keep doing it until somebody complains. They figure they do it, nobody complains. Well, now they just double dipped.
So I was in a dump at Showers Online, but when I talked to the people at Smart Glazer, they didn't have a mobile app. So I'm like, oh, never mind. That was not going to work out for me. Yeah. So because I don't buy from Oldcastle anymore. I buy from another supplier here, nearby, and so it's not really. If I get it because we pay a lot for. Charlie and I, it's not cheap, but, and if you get Smart Glazer, I think it's like half the cost, I think, or.
Smart Build is pretty expensive too.
How much do you pay a month for?
I think I'm $480 or something like that.
Okay.
Because I know FHC's pretty inexpensive. I think they're only $100, but they don't have near the same capabilities as Smart Builder. Yeah. I don't know. And I don't know if they have the online deal with FHC either, but, I think that's goal one for this co-op is get the mobile app for now.
Right.
I did not come from, not to get on my soapbox, but I did not come from this industry. I came from a totally different world and industry, and I'm young and I'm stupid and I get out of college and the world is your oyster. And then I come and work for my dad and I am like, why isn't there training for this? Why doesn't anybody know what the deduction is supposed to be? Why are we all just kind of winging it? Not to say my dad's winging it. I mean, we're not winging it. He's got plenty of experience, but like, I feel like I'm winging it every day. And this call has brought to light a lot of people who feel the same way. And that's not how this should feel. Like, why is this industry like this? And why doesn't Google know what a shower door installer is? I just, it's insane. So I'm just getting a little bit fired up.
Good. Keep that. About, use that.
I can't believe you said that, Cameron, because going with the setting up the co-op, I swear every day, Christina's like, and with this co-op, I'll have more power for this and more power for that. And I'll be telling those people they'll be doing what I want.
Absolutely. We've got how many people on just this call already talking? Yeah, we want it. We want it now. This is how many we've got behind us.
Yeah. Power to the people.
That's right. Like, that's right.
That we all really need these things, and it hasn't happened yet. I mean, it just takes, I guess, a little bit of, you know, organization, a little bit of pizzazz. I don't know, but like, that's, I guess that's what the co-op is, a little bit of pizzazz. So we're going to do it. And I'm going to yell at some people nicely, sweetly.
Oh, very nicely.
Yeah.
You're going to provide feedback from a customer. Yeah. And you're going to represent other customers who have the same feedback. It's very helpful.
Yet productive. Yes. So.
And I know Christina did her co-op info at the beginning, but if anyone has other things that they would like to see out of a co-op, I mean, I feel like every time we talk, we're like, oh, and we could do this, we could do that. We started talking about, you know, could we do some, you know, get some better pricing from vendors? Could we actually get vendors to sponsor, do different things like pay in to get access to us? You know, could we do, a certification? You know, all these contractors have little letters and stuff behind their names from NKBA. What if we had letters? What if we had certification?
SP.
What if we, what if we had our
SP
awards?
What is it?
SP, shower professional.
Shower pro. And then what if we had our own awards? What if everybody submitted for, you know, best steam shower? Because, you know, all of those awards are broken up into 50 different categories. So all these people can win in all these different categories. Yeah. So, yeah, there's so many great ideas that come out of this. And if you guys have any to offer, you know, then fill out that form, even if it's just to say, hey, I want to see you guys do this. Mm-hmm. Ideas.
Yeah, totally. Because the industry is going to benefit. I mean, even if you, as an individual or as a shop, don't decide to join up, I think you're going to benefit from those who do. I mean, I don't see how it can't possibly end up being that way, because of stuff just like this. I mean, we get together, we get ideas, we start brainstorming, and you know, stuff's going to happen.
So it's like they say, shit's getting real.
That's right.
It's getting real.
That's right. And it's like you were saying earlier, Bill, it's like the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? I mean, if people are doing something and they feel like they're getting away with it, you're like, we're kind of taking this money. We're not really, you know, we're using it for this or that. You know, it's just like politicians, whatever, you know. I mean, they're going to do whatever they can get away with. They're like children, you know.
Yeah.
Once they know that you're watching them and start speaking up, then that's when things change.
That whole analogy with smart builders is just like, how would you feel if Oldcastle started installing? Now it's a whole different game, right? Right now they're a supplier, but what happens if they started an installation side of their thing? Well, I don't think you'd be buying glass from them then, would you? Not if they're your direct competitor now. So they were your partner, now they're your competitor. It's almost like the smart builder thing. They're just giving it to other people that are your competitors. You have to put it in that perspective for them. Say, you're not supporting me. I'm supporting you with my money, but you're not supporting me. You're actually hurting me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and one thing I've noticed as I've gotten older is that like greed makes people stupid. You know, when people become greedy, they start doing stuff, stupid things. Ends up actually hurting you because, you know, you become short-sighted. And when people are, you know, grateful, grateful people are generous, you know, and when people are generous, they end up cooperating, you know, with their neighbors, and it's like good stuff happens, you know.
It does. It comes back to you. It really does.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'd much rather be part of a community, you know, be part of a group of friends, people who like are happy to see me coming, you know, aren't like, you know, dodging me, you know, when I come around the corner. I always think about like that story of, you know, Christmas Carol, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge, and, you know, this picture of this guy who's like super, super like rich. I mean, and goes home to this big, huge, dark place, you know, and like sits in the dark, you know, with a candle and eats gruel, you know. And it's like, what a perfect picture of a person who's just greedy and just sucks the life out of you.
Yeah.
How about that?
Hey, Bill, what were you saying about Smart Builder? I'm sorry, I just jumped in here on your Old Castle Smart Builder discussion. Is there something going on with Smart Builder?
Actually, Cameron and Christina were talking about it, and because they use it, let them explain it to you. I just gave them my analogy of what they were doing. But
no, basically, we were talking about, you know, or well, Adrian mentioned, and some of the guys were saying that going out and basically closing the sale there at the, or giving the price and estimate there on the spot versus, you know, waiting a couple of days. And I was asking them, you know, what they use and whatnot. And I guess Showers Online has the mobile app, but Smart Builder does not. And that's kind of what's challenging for me, at least, because when I go out and do the estimates and stuff, I'm always like next day or by the end of the day, if I get back early enough to send out my quotes, because run in there with a laptop and do all that stuff, it's a little more difficult.
What have they said? Why haven't they opened that up? Because we use Smart Builder as well. We just don't take advantage of that ability to quote on site.
Okay, jumping back. So this ability to quote on site technically exists sort of in two different ways already. They're clunky. And so while you can technically quote on site, it's clunky, it's incomplete, it's time consuming. And Showers Online, which Smart Glazer built for CRL, they already have this capability, this app where you can price and sell in the field. They rolled that out early last year, I believe. And I ripped into Smart Builder about it because I was like, why the heck would you do that and then not give that to your existing customers? And they're like, well, we have to, you know, take what we built and then plug in all the things with our existing functionality. It just takes a little longer, blah, blah, blah. Well, meanwhile, our competitors who don't pay extra for Smart Builder are able to use this tool that Smart Builder built for CRL against Smart Builder customers.
Yeah, it sounds like it's probably a licensing deal, and CRL is a big customer. Yep, and so they're going to want to give them the advantage. It's the same thing with putting hardware in outside of USH or CRL because they own it, and that's a conflict of interest with their biggest customer. So, there are some other issues that we would like to see in the Shower Online program. You know how the cover page is the full shower that you see, and then the cut sheets. When we QC glass, we don't want to see three individual pieces of glass. We want to see the shower. Because if it was a door inline and two pieces came in, say an eighth big, that's a problem. With a 90, you might be able to work that on the curb. So we've begged for them to do that. And since they are the ones that build the software, I don't think it's that complex. It's probably closer to them just, you know, clicking a button to opening it up, but they are steadfast in not allowing us that capability. And I agree with you, Christina. We're the paying customers. We are paying them for the service, but they're holding back on us a little bit.
So if you haven't joined Facebook page for Smart Builder already, or Smart Toolbox, I guess, I would recommend doing that because there are conversations about things like this in there that they look at and they use it to prioritize their backlog. That is Facebook page for. There's not a lot of conversation on it right now. And I don't want it to become like a grievance fest, because I feel for them, coming from a software background. What's happened is they've given us beautiful, like, it's the tip of the iceberg. It's like this perfect solution, start to finish, that just doesn't have everything, right? It's like almost there. It's so close, and it's the closest thing in our industry, but it's like, oh, if only these little things.
Well, it's frustrating because they have it, right? It's not like they're needing to develop it. They just need to let their customers take advantage of it, which is a different story. But
yeah, and they told me was that, you know, the reason we're able to build these new widgets and functions and capabilities is because someone with deep pockets like CRL, you know, allows us the development time to do that. So I get it, but it also pisses me off. Like, it just, that's, they're cannibalizing their own business to stay in business. Not going to work long term, and it's frustrating. I'm drafting an email as we have been having this conversation to Sam, because they're in New Zealand, so they should be getting it at this hour.
Yeah.
So I'll keep going on that. But yes, I know it's coming. I know that functionality is coming. I don't know when. I think Q1.
Yeah, there's this phenomenon in product development of, you know, early adoption, you know, I'm sure you've heard of that. So it's like someone invents something really cool, like a big screen TV, and it costs like $10,000. And so no one can afford to get that thing except the people who have, you know, $10,000 that they disposable income. And so these early adopters buy those, and eventually the price comes down, right? Because enough people buy them, becomes more affordable to produce. And now you can get a big screen TV for what? I mean, you can get a giant screen TV for like $100,000.
Oh yeah, my wedding gift was a big screen TV from my mom. It weighed about 300 pounds. I think it costs like $4,000.
Right. Right. Now for like $500, you can get one that's even bigger. It's like this thick.
Yeah.
And it weighs like 10 pounds.
Exactly. You almost use it as a computer monitor now.
So there's that, you know, and I get that, right? But this is not really that, is it? I mean, this is something different. This is something where it's a software. So there's not this cost, this hardware cost to it, or whatever, or development cost. It's something that exists, that's only software, and it should be available to people, to all of us. Even if it costs a little bit more, there should be that option to pay a little more, right?
I mean, if they wanted to do that, I think I think for overall, I think the software is a pretty good, it's a great software. It's just frustrating knowing that they have the capabilities there, they're just not willing to share it with their customers, which seems kind of odd.
Great talk. It's really interesting how the conversation comes around on these
calls. So back in 2005, there was a company that came out. It was called Sirius Systems.
That's right.
They called it Silk Light. And that was the same type of showers online. And Western States had it. I think it wasn't Old Castle then, it was Templast. They had it. But it never took off. And that was the end of it. And showers online came on board. Mm-hmm.
No. Awesome. Well, hey, Brad, are you saying something?
Well, I was muted, and I was just wondering if that software's still out there somewhere that somebody was developing.
Which one, then?
Yeah, it probably is, but it probably hasn't been any further developed, you know, that was years ago. So
I mean, it did the same thing. It did a. It says right here, design your customer glass order for it from a few selections and pricing provided from your supplier. And it was a nice system, yeah. But it's just.
But today, I mean, what makes software powerful today is that it's constantly being developed, right? So that's like they're always working on it, always working. It's always being improved. There's always an update coming out. And that's what people expect is that, oh, this is going to get better. This is going to, you know, next month it'll be better than it is now. And that's kind of, you know, that's what people have come to expect. So, I mean, I'm sure there's other things out there, but unless that's what's happening with it, it's really not state of the art anymore.
And this guy was at the trade show. That's where I came from.
Well, I know we're sorry, Tim. Go ahead. Might be.
Latency, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Time, but I just really fast with software. I know you guys are saying that they already built it. It's no big deal. Like, just plug it in, just turn it on. There's a ton more that has to go on, just like you're talking about updates. And just to play devil's advocate with Smart Builder, every update with Apple, for example, could break, you know, five things at Smart Builder, and they have to fix it right in emergency because people are using iPads to quote in the field or what have you. So, you know, every update from any integration that they allow to their software could break something, and they are constantly managing and maintaining and adding and like fixing. It's constant. So it's even when they're not growing their product, they are always working on their product. Mm-hmm. And I just want to throw that out there because they are a good company. I just am mad about this particular circumstance, but they are a very good company.
Agreed.
Nice, nice. Well, that's a good note to end it on. Let's end on a happy note. Hey, thanks, everyone. Always good to hear from you. I almost always learn something on these calls. So we'll see you again next Wednesday, okay?
All right.
All right.
Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.